Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, copywriter, and educational content creator. Join me while I sit down with talented photographers, savvy entrepreneurs, and inspiring educators from the Unscripted community. Each week, I pick their brains and invite them to share real-life advice so you can learn everything you need to know to grow your dream business. Tune in for conversations about harnessing your creativity, connecting to your clients, building your confidence as a photographer, and so much more. No matter where you are on your photography journey, this is the podcast for you. If you want to celebrate all stories, take photos that matter, and feel empowered in your craft, don't go anywhere. Let's get right into it. Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. Today, we're diving into a topic that's quite close to the hearts of a lot of photographers, especially the nostalgic ones, myself included, and that is printed photo albums. I guess living in this digital age, it's really easy to forget how magical it feels to actually hold a physical photograph in your hands. But for new photographers, why are printed albums so important, both personally and professionally? Like, why set aside the time to make them, to promote them, to sell them, to choose images for them? I guess that's the question that we're going to be exploring today with the amazing Daniel Yushchenko, the founder and CEO of Pixaloo, a company dedicated to creating beautiful and easy-to-use photo album design software. We'll be uncovering the power of printed photo albums and how you can leverage them to showcase your work, strengthen your connection with your clients, and even boost your business. Stay tuned to the very end for a special offer from Pixaloo. Whether you're a hobbyist photographer or you're just starting your professional journey, this is the episode for you. Let's get into it. Let's just start. If you could tell me a little bit about yourself, Daniel, and maybe how you kind of got to where you are today.
I was born in the former Soviet Union a long, long time ago. I'm not super old, but I feel like I'm older than most of your listeners. I was born in the warm part of the country, and I grew up in, back then it was part of the Soviet Union, the Republic of Georgia. When I was 7 years old, though, there was a civil war. So my family has lost everything. Thankfully, nobody died or got injured. But after the war, we moved to mainland Russia. We were very poor, barely surviving. And thankfully, we were able to immigrate to the United States as immigrants. Of course, it was difficult in a lot of ways, new language, new customs, new everything. But very grateful for the opportunities that this country has given me. And one of those was to buy my first on my parents' credit card so that I can play around and do just some personal projects when I was a teenager. One thing led to another, and as most photographers probably can attest, it wasn't a plan they had. They just sort of ended up being a photographer.
Yeah.
I started to photograph my friends and maybe something at church, and then somebody wanted to pay me money for photography. And next thing I knew, I was a full-time wedding photographer, even though on the side or in parallel, I was studying mathematics and philosophy.
Wow.
At university. So I'm a little bit of a left brain, right brain. However, when I finished, I just didn't feel like I need to pursue anything in that direction when I am already photographing and having a lot of fun. I was having a lot of fun back then. I am that old. I started photography 20 years ago. And back then, it was still film that was primary, and I learned photography through film. And as the years went by, I tried very hard to be my best. I started to teach workshops, travel internationally. Even back then, we still made DVDs, and I produced a tutorial DVD that got sold in 40 different countries.
Wow.
And it was a fun time. This was back then. Back then, I was still trying to decide whether digital or film was the way to go. That's how long it was. Wow. The funny thing is that I still shoot, and I have come back to film because I love it so much.
Yeah, and a lot of people kind of are coming back to film a little bit too, aren't they? Like, you know, it seems like there's a movement for even taking digital photos that look like film and applying certain presets to them so that you can get that filmy kind of look.
Yeah, there's something magical about film that people don't get with digital. I personally don't believe that one is better than the other. I think they're both really great. Mm. But I think people are maybe somewhat tired of, you know, shooting 10,000 photos that they don't need. They just want like a few that look, I guess they look special. They look authentic. They look like something that their grandparents might have. And there's some timelessness that comes with it.
Totally.
But also, I think that, at least for me, the reason one of the big reasons I shoot film is the editing, quote, the editing of the film, it doesn't fluctuate with the trends. The photos that I photographed 10 years ago on the film look exactly timeless as they do today. Whereas mm-hmm. with digital, I know that my style fluctuates a lot. And the editing style fluctuates so much that I can't even believe what I was editing like, you know, 3 years ago.
And, yeah.
10 years ago, we had a trend of those very brown tones everywhere.
Yes.
Like, nobody wants that anymore.
Yes. It's so easy to date a digital photograph. I think there are so many variables. There's so many sliders and sort of masks and, you know, things that you can kind of apply to a photograph to make it so different to what it looked like when you kind of was first in the camera.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's less guessing with the editing with film. You get what you get and it's beautiful and everyone's happy and you're not spending hours and hours editing too.
So, I mean, I feel like you have a really sort of to move to the US at like 11 and to sort of, I don't know, 11's a time where a lot of kids are kind of starting school, I guess. So did you kind of come in and start like grade 2 or grade 3?
In the US, it's grade 6. So
oh my gosh.
A little bit later.
Okay, grade 6. So that's like the beginning of middle school in the US.
Yeah, yeah. 7th grade is middle school.
Okay.
And it was incredibly tough. I still remember a story. So I would come to the class and I would sit there all day long and I wouldn't understand a thing. And there were no translators or Google or anything like that. And I would just sit there the whole day and then I would go home and I would come back and sit there the whole day and I would go home. One day the teacher had an exam that she was passing out to the students. She didn't give me one of the exams because I didn't understand anything. But after the kids completed their tests, she would give out candy as a congrats for completing the test. And of course, she skipped me and I didn't get any candy.
Oh, that is so rude. Gosh, it must be kind of satisfying in a way to go from like that kid that's like kind of left out of everything to be in a completely different world to like teaching like photography workshops and having this DVD that's distributed all over the world. You know, like it's kind of this really triumphant kind of story of going from, I guess it's also kind of like a story that Americans really love of the hardship to like victory. But I also feel like I've never had someone on the podcast that has sort of come from a country from the sort of collapse of the Soviet Union. And then you're like a CEO now. And I'm curious about this journey and what aspects of Georgian culture you found that you've sort of carried with you, or like, what do your parents think about what you do? And how do you still feel like you're kind of connected to this country that you have like childhood memories from, or how do you sort of integrate all of that?
A lot to unpack here. I'll say the first thing that comes to mind is I don't feel any bitterness or pity for that child. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful the lessons that hardship has taught me. I mean, everything from surviving through a war and remembering a lot about that time as well. All of those have only led me to be grateful for everything I have today. And I have a lot today. I have a wife. I have a wonderful child who's healthy. I have a wonderful career. I enjoy photography. I now run a company of 45 people that are across the world. And all of those lessons, all of those hardships have only led me to this moment. So if anything, I'm grateful for them. I feel in the US, I feel, maybe this is true of most countries nowadays, but people really want to know where they came from. Who are they? who their ancestors are, what their DNA says about them. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that I know exactly where I came from. By blood, I'm half Russian, half Ukrainian. And yeah. My wife is Ukrainian. Obviously, with the recent war, also, it's been extremely difficult. But I know where I'm from. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the hardships that brought me this far.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's a really good, healthy way of sort of being able to sort of take different parts of yourself and bring them into where you are now. You touched a little bit on this business, but I'm curious about, can you tell us a bit about Pixaloo and what motivated you to start it and how it sort of began? As I understand, it was kind of a collaborative endeavor from the get-go. So could you just give us a little overview on, yeah, where, what the origin story is?
Yeah. When 13 years ago, when I was busy teaching workshops and updating my website and doing full-time photography, a friend of mine texted me and said, hey, I have an idea for an app. Since you're a photographer and you seem to be doing well, do you want to partner up and you'll do the marketing and I'll do the coding? I said, all right, that sounds good. Long story short, we wasted tens of thousands of dollars and we failed at our first app. And thankfully, we convinced a friend of ours to give us a little more money, invest a little more money so that we can build this other app that we thought of, which at the time we called Smart Albums. And Smart Albums solved a very important problem. 13 years ago, when we were making it, in order for photographers to create a wedding album or a family album, they would spend many, many hours or sometimes days making that design in Photoshop or InDesign. For those listeners that don't print albums, you may not realize that before you can print an album with photos, you need to decide which photos go into the album and how will they be arranged in that album. Maybe sometimes you want one photo per page. Maybe you want 10. And if you want 10, and let's say three of them are horizontal and the rest are vertical, you need to somehow put them together in a way that looks cohesive. Yeah. And so this would take a very, very long time to do in Photoshop or InDesign. And Smart Albums cut that time from hours into minutes. And the first time we posted a small teaser, like a 1 minute teaser of what the app will do, we got so much publicity from it. And this was a little over 10 years ago. We launched the app and thankfully this was not a failure like the first one. And from that point on, we grew little by little. And now we're at 45 people spread out all across the world in 20 different countries. And have many, many wonderful customers around the world as well.
What was the first app that you guys tried to make?
So the first app was when the iPad was just introduced. My friend said, hey, why don't we create albums that are digital on an iPad? We could create an app where you can flip pages of a digital album. And I thought that was a pretty cool idea. The only problem was nobody cared. That was the only thing.
Yeah, it's so hard to know what is going to sort of take off and what's not going to take off. Like you think about all the apps that are so popular these days. And, you know, some of them, it's kind of clear that they're serving a specific utility. But then there are also some other ones that are just so random that people just seem to love. So I don't know. I feel like I kind of admire that attitude of just, well, we think it's a good idea. Let's make it work. And just really trying to sort of find something that other people will love too.
Yeah, no, I admire those people too, but when you waste tens of thousands of dollars in 2 years of your life,
yeah, you're like, I'm done. Was there like a kind of trigger moment that inspired this sort of iteration of Smart Albums? Like, was it your friend's idea that was like, you know, I think this would be really good for photographers and you're a photographer? Or had you been sort of struggling with Photoshop for a really long time and trying to create these albums and realizing how much time you were sort of losing to these albums?
Yeah, I think the reason that we ended up being successful is because both myself and my partner, we're both photographers. We understand photographers. We know what photographers need, what they want. So when we were making the app, we were doing it as if we're doing it for ourselves because we knew the pain. And it's not only just things like laying out the photos. There's other confusing parts about ordering a book. One of those parts, for example, is every print lab out there, they all want different things. Some of them want a specific way to size their pages. Others have specific limitations for which things you can or cannot do for their albums. And that also was a very confusing thing. So as photographers, we knew the obstacles, whether it's design or communication with print labs or some other thing. And so we were able to build something that we would love. And thankfully, other people saw that what we build is valuable. And that's why right now, Smart Albums is the number one way to create albums in the world.
That's awesome. So there's a way to sort of format it for specific print labs if they have like certain specs that are required. Smart Albums has this way of allowing you to sort of toggle specific features that print labs require?
In a word, yes. We have communicated with the print labs on what it is they want. And when you, the photographer, choose a print lab out of the list of supported labs, of which we support basically all of the ones that are important in the world, then Smart Albums ensures that the pages you design are going to correspond with the requirements of those print labs.
Cool. Yeah, that is a really annoying thing to navigate as a photographer. And that's so awesome that you guys have managed to solve that problem for us. I want to dig into a little bit more about why maybe the client side of things, like why is it a really important thing for photographers to offer a printed option for their galleries? Like what is the benefit to the client?
Yeah. There are definitely lots of benefits to both the photographer and the client. For the client side, I think when digital came around and when there was definitely maybe a decade ago where people didn't think they needed printed items at all. They felt like, why would I print something? No one's going to see it when I can post online and all of my friends, thousands of them, are going to see how beautiful I am and they can like their photos and comment. It seemed to make a lot of sense to go digital. But over time, I think what happened is psychologically people are tired of having everything online, having everything on their phones, and having a sea of images that you can never get through. I mean, if you even think of us, when I take a photo on the phone, how often is it that I come back to it ever? Can I ever find, like, if I were to die, can anyone ever figure out which photos to keep or not? We have thousands and thousands of photos. And so our clients are experiencing the same thing. Everything is digital and everything has become commoditized. So by the mere fact that you are doing something different, that in itself is going to add so much value and make your work feel like something special. But aside from that, there's so many other things. The simplest one of them is the images that are printed are usually much bigger than the size of your phone.
Yeah.
So you'll see the images much bigger. Another unexpected benefit is when you have to create a book, you are forced to choose. You're forced to choose the best options, not just all of them. Like if a gallery gets sent, okay, there's 1,000 images and you may like some of them and may not like others. Whereas when you're creating a book, you might choose 50 or 100. So you're creating this physical, tangible item that has beautiful, large images that are curated. When you put all those things together, it's really a special thing. It's like it's something that you can put on the table and look through, you know, every few weeks. And it's I can describe the logical part of it. But once you hold a book and you experience the emotional impact of a beautiful wedding album, you'll know why people value it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, that point that you brought up is funny about how, like, if you die, all those photos in your phone, people don't really know, like, how to make sense of that. And there is something about leaving a legacy behind of, like, if you print it out, that's like something that can, like, actually be passed down, like, through the generations. Mm-hmm. I still remember seeing photos of my grandparents' wedding and, like, my parents' wedding and, like, all these sort of snapshots that if it was just in their phone, I would never sit down with it and page through it and have that sort of emotional connection that you get from, like, holding a physical print.
Absolutely.
It's a really good way of increasing your profit, making more money. But what about the sort of more intangible side of things for a photographer? Like, what is the sort of satisfying, maybe emotionally satisfying element of it for a photographer?
Yeah, obviously, and we can talk about this too. Obviously, it is one of the best ways to make money for the photographer. But in terms of the artistic portion of it, I think it, again, begins with the curation of those images. You are choosing your best work to be presented in the most beautiful way that you can be proud of. But also, your work, your curated work, will appear on the tables of your clients. And when their friends come over, and they'll be able to see your work in the most beautiful presentation possible. It also, I think, is sort of in a way that when you create a website, you have to put together a collection of the best photos. The process of curation, the process of putting that story together, allows you to basically narrow down your work from the day into this artistic package that, if you wanted to, you can think of it as a website in an old school website, as a book. That's a great way to present yourself artistically, but also a great way for your clients to promote your work to their friends.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Regardless of whether you photograph elopements, weddings, or family sessions, the juggling act that comes with running your own business can be a real struggle. There's a lot that falls on your shoulders, from marketing yourself, to managing your finances, to finding new ways to stay creatively inspired. Look, it's a lot to expect one person to do on their own. You should be able to grow a thriving photography business without losing sleep, time, or all your friends over it. Having empowered over 500,000 photographers worldwide to make money doing what they love, the Unscripted app for photographers takes the struggle out of what you do. Offering the world's most extensive collection of poses and prompts, lawyer-approved contracts, digital invoices, client questionnaires, beautifully designed galleries, and so much more, your only regret will be not getting on board earlier. Stop feeling disorganized, insecure, and awkward. Book your ideal clients and grow a thriving photography business today. Search Unscripted in your app store now and get $20 off lifetime access with our code UNSCRIPTEDPODCAST. I mean, as satisfying as it is to, like, see your work on your client's Instagram and be tagged in this really, like, positive caption about, you know, how great that photo is, there's something that is, like, more artful about being able to, like, select your best pieces and put them together. And it's like seeing something kind of from, like, inception to fruition. It's like you get to see all the ways that a photograph is created, you get to do the creating, and then you kind of see how it can be used afterwards. And it's almost like the whole lifespan of your work is kind of laid out in this way where you get to see the result of it in, like, a tangible way.
Absolutely. And you ensure this way that your photos are not going to go into the client's camera reel on their phone and forever be lost in there. Once it gets, you know, posted on Instagram, they're not just gonna, that's not everything. They're gonna live on somebody's desk or their table for a long, long time.
Yeah. And you're not gonna get clients, like, putting a really ugly Instagram filter over your photo, like, doing a weird crop. You have a bit more control, and, like, that actual final product, you know, when it's passed on from your clients to their family, it's like you have this really beautiful representation of your work.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about how print and album sales contribute to a photographer's overall income compared to just digital gallery deliveries.
I'm a photographer. I want to remind the listeners of this. And I know I know how much we hate sales and all the businessy stuff. On the one hand, we know we have to make money because otherwise we cannot continue to be photographers. And after all, it's a lot of work and effort. On the other hand, photographers absolutely hate feeling like they're trying to sell something. They just want to take photos. They want to make people happy. They want to be part of their special day. And albums provides a really great way for you to make money without being salesy. Mm. If all you need to do, all a photographer needs to do, is to show a book to their potential clients and say, by the way, if you'd like to purchase something like this, I can make it happen for you. The beauty of an album or a book has such a high emotional appeal that even if you're not overselling, you will get a lot of people wanting this item because it is a very, very beautiful, tangible item. And most couples realize that photos is really the only thing. Photos and their spouse are the only things that they keep after the day. Mm. So first of all, an album is easy to sell. You don't need to oversell it. It's easy to sell. And so it becomes a very great add-on. Second, I'm not sure if maybe those of you who are not offering albums, you may not know how expensive they can be. But typically, in order to print a professional album, you as a photographer would be paying around $300 to $400 US for the print. Typical markup is about 3x, depending on how much you want to, you know, obviously more luxurious clients, you might do 10x, but a typical markup is, you know, 3x. And so if you're printing a book, let's say for $400 and you're marketing it up 3x, you can sell it for $1,200, which is an $800 profit. And if that takes you half an hour to put an album together, that's half an hour and $800.
Yeah.
Plus,
sounds pretty
happy
good.
Clients, plus more referrals. Think about a typical photographer, a wedding photographer might shoot, let's say, 20 weddings or maybe 50 family sessions if somebody's focused on families. Even if a small percentage of those clients order a book, you're already making a lot more than you were before.
Mm. Would you suggest kind of including the album as a package that you offer? How are some ways that you kind of make this package or like album and shoot kind of experience a little bit more enticing for clients?
Yeah. So it really depends. And obviously, there are many ways of doing it. I'll give you two examples that I think are very good. The first example is most people don't offer any albums. So you might think, okay, I will try to plan for future clients. But I've heard stories of other photographers creating album drafts and showing it to their clients for everybody who they've photographed over the past many years. And they might spend, let's say, the way that you would typically do it is you would go select the favorites from their shoot, which are usually either images in the blog post or the images that you posted on social media, throw it into Smart Albums. In 10 minutes, you'll have a draft, send it over to your clients, offer them some sort of discount. I've had a photographer tell me that in 1 week, he made $10,000 doing that.
Wow.
Just by offering books to, and you know, taking only a few minutes to create a draft. That's a way to make money from past clients. Mm. And so you could do something like that with your future clients. You could go with digitals only, like most people do. And then after the shoot, you can say, hey, by the way, I've created a draft for you. This is how a book would look. What do you think? And sure, a lot of people are going to say no, but if you're only, you know, wasted 20 minutes on that, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's less effective because psychologically, they weren't expecting the book. They weren't looking for it. They probably didn't see one in person. So it probably is not going to sell well. So the alternative that I would recommend, it's a very straightforward, easy way, is to include a small book in the package and to make sure that when you meet with your clients, you show them an example, and you say that this will be included in the package. This makes your offer more appealing because they get something tangible. And then when it's time to design a book, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to have way more images that you'd want to include than they can be included in the album that you offer them. So all you have to do is design an album that has more pages than they have included in their book and ask them whether they would like to reduce the size of the album and get rid of some of the images, or to pay extra to upgrade the album.
Wow. Okay.
It's up to them.
Yeah.
It's up to them. You don't have to pressure them. You don't have to force them to do anything, but you simply provide them the option to upgrade or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Where it's kind of like you're saying, this is already included, but then when you deliver the photos, you say, this is what you get that's included, or we can include a few more for an
absolutely
extra. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if photographers think, wow, that's kind of sneaky, I don't like it, well, the way that I would encourage you to think about it is include the book as a free add-on. Don't charge for the book. The smaller book with a few pages is going to cost you as the photographer $100, $200 US. That's not a lot of money if somebody's, you know, paying you thousands of dollars. So yeah. Then when you are offering them to upgrade, you're not offering them an upgrade on something they paid for. It's your gift to them anyways. And the offer is simply an ask, do you want to get more from this book? There's no, it's not like you're keeping their images if they don't order. It's not like you're trying to trick them. It's simply providing an opportunity for them to upgrade. And if there's any lesson that I've learned from running a business is, if you want something purchased, you have to let them know that they can purchase it. If they don't know that they can purchase it, they won't be able to purchase it.
Yeah, totally. And I guess it's like some people do want that. Like, you know, you don't have to feel sleazy about selling it because, like, as we've said, there are all these amazing emotional values of just having a physical album that's like tangible that you can kind of pass down and pass around and have in your home. It's just like really believing in the value of it, I think, as well as a photographer, like really truly like for yourself, like believing in the value of it and maybe getting some albums of your own printed out and really sort of firsthand understanding like the benefit of it.
100%. That's such a great point. If you don't love albums and if you've never printed one, you probably don't love albums, then obviously it might feel like you're selling them something that's not very useful. But I encourage others and photographers to print their own work for themselves, because then you'll see what's so special about albums.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas as to like when is a good time to sort of offer albums to clients? Like if you're a wedding photographer, like is it something that you should kind of be letting them know about in the very beginning? And if they say no to albums initially, do you sort of ask them again after the wedding? Like, do you have any sort of ideas as to when might be the best sort of time to offer albums as a service?
Like any sales in the world, there are a few concepts that are true for any industry, any process. Like I said, first and foremost, make sure to let your clients know, I offer albums. That's important because if we compare, let's compare our experience at a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant and you are never told there is wine, you will not order wine because you did not know they had wine.
Yeah.
So that's step number one. And I think that will cover 80% of photographers out there just letting people know.
Yeah.
Second, if possible, and I know this isn't always possible, but if possible, show your clients what an album is. Most people don't know. Most photographers don't even know what beautiful albums can be out there. So show them in person so that they can touch it, they can feel it, they can imagine having something like that. and do that before the shoot, before they book. And like I said earlier, if possible, if you feel like you can spend $200, include it as a gift. It's not a lot of money. It's not going to take you a lot of time to design, but it is extra that you're giving to your clients. If we're coming back to the restaurant analogy, it's like giving the customer a taster for a wine and then asking them if they'd like to order more, they'll be able to. In the same way with the albums, you've shown it to them, you've given it to them as a gift. And then if later you create a bigger album at the end, and if they want to order it, they could. And again, just like at a restaurant, if you give them a little bit of free wine, yes, some customers may not order more, but a lot of them will. And this way, you're not being pushy, you're not being salesy, you're not trying to trick anybody. But like you said, all of it really works if the photographer themselves, if they love albums and they believe in what they're offering.
And I would even add to, like, you know, that third point of like including it as a gift, you know, you could even raise your prices a couple hundred dollars if you really couldn't afford to like outlay, you know, like you could just kind of say like, I'm just going to include this in the price and it's baked in and it's going to include an album no matter what. And it's kind of like you get to kind of look more generous, but you're still kind of covering your bases as a business person.
Absolutely. And if an album costs you, and I'm sort of sharing the higher number of $200, you can easily claim for it to be worth $600 if, you know, if it's a 3x markup, that's what it would be worth. So you can raise your prices by 200, but you're giving them $600 worth of value. So the amount of value you're giving them is more than the price that's being increased.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. What's a good workflow for photographers like wanting to add prints and albums to their packages and offerings? Like, do you have any best practices to share?
Best practices. Do you want to make more money or do you want to save time? that's the deciding factor. All right, I'll share two.
Okay.
The difficult part about designing an album has nothing to do with design. It's about choosing the photos that go into the album.
Yeah.
If you have 1,000 photos and you want to narrow it down to 100, that's what takes work. So you have to ask yourself, am I concerned about my time or not? If you are willing to invest the time, it is better for you to choose your favorites, put them into smart albums, and then just drag and drop, create an album. You know, the design portion is going to take you 10 minutes, but you might take 2 hours to choose the favorites. If you feel like, okay, this is kind of too much work, I don't want to choose images, especially if I'm trying to create several albums, the other option is to let your clients choose the images. And in this case, they already have to have an album ordered or pending, because otherwise, why would they choose their favorites? So in my example of offering a gift, you can tell them, hey, you have a gift of an album. You need to choose, let's say, 30 photos or 25 photos. Please do that. So once they choose those photos, you don't have to choose the favorites. You simply use theirs. And most of the time, they won't be able to choose 25. They'll choose 50, which will allow you to make the extra pages. So that's really the deciding factor. Are you choosing the photos or is the client choosing the photos? If you are trying to make more money and you have the time, definitely choose the photos and create the biggest, most beautiful album that you can. If you're concerned about time, let your clients choose the photos so that you don't have to do that work. In either case, you bring the images into a design software like Smart Albums. You choose a lab that you'd like to work with. And then within, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and maybe even just a couple minutes, if you're using the auto build feature that we have, you're going to have a ready-to-go album, and then you'll be able to send that draft to your clients through our software as well. And your clients will be able to look at the album, make suggestions, make comments on what they want changed. All of that is done very seamlessly in our ecosystem. And hopefully within hopefully they will get back to you very quickly, and they're not those clients that can take a year to respond. But yeah, that's pretty much all it takes. Somebody chooses the photos. The design is very, very simple. And then after approval from your clients, you place the order with a print lab and you're all set.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a win-win. Like, it's kind of like if you, you know, want more control, then you can kind of take the time to do it. But I also feel like handing that off to the clients, because it's the thing that they're going to have in their homes, makes a lot of sense to me too. Like, I can see both sides and both being quite beneficial in their own ways.
Yeah. The biggest downside of letting your clients do it is they might take forever.
And yeah.
We all know those clients that they're done with the wedding, they're tired, and yeah, they're indecisive, and they'll take a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's a thing to kind of look out for. Do you see any trends in print and album preferences that photographers sort of might want to know about or keep in mind for the next couple of years?
Every print lab that I speak to, they are all saying that they've had like the best year last year. And before that, it was the second best year.
Wow.
So a lot of photographers are going for albums that I think they're trying to stand out. There's so much competition and they're trying to make more money. I'm just like my film photography mindset. I want the images to be the ones highlighted. I don't want any sort of weird editing or designs. Mm. So I try to go with very minimalistic, few images on the page. And the designs we have in Smart Albums are very simple and very modern. So I would try to keep it simple. Try not to cram 27 images on the page. At the end of the day, it's not about the album, right? It's about the images. It's about your work.
Mm.
So by including less, you're letting your work shine. That's one. The second is, you're a storyteller. We are storytellers. So when you're creating a book, think about that story. There's the getting ready, or the portrait, the first look, the ceremony. So keep that in mind. Try to design in a way that makes sense. I'll give you one, very simple example. Don't include images from different parts of the day on the same page, because that doesn't make sense. Every page should be a scene out of the day. I think that's good. I photographers are very visual, and I think they know their work best. And I think they are guided by their intuition. They'll be able to design just fine.
Do you feel like chronologically is the best way to go for albums?
It depends if it's a story, like a wedding day, or if it's more based around a feeling. If you're shooting, let's say we're doing a family shoot or a portrait shoot, there's not really a story. There could be, but there's not really a story. And I think you may be going for a sort of a feel. So yeah, in that case, you perhaps may want to include black and white images on some pages, but not mix the two. Maybe on some pages you'll have dramatic images, on others you'll have more happy images. But if it is a story, you should keep the storyline.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have any advice to share for photographers who might be hesitant to invest in offering prints and albums? Like, I feel like we've kind of touched on a lot, but if you had a photographer sitting in front of you right now and they were like, do I, don't I? Like, what, you know, is it going to be an annoying addition to my photography workflow? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I am imagining people like that, because I know quite a few people like that. What I would say is, if you're saying something like that as a photographer, you went into photography, like most photographers, for the love of the art. You didn't go into it because you wanted to be rich or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And you may hear all of this and you might say, that's businessy stuff. I'm an artist at heart. I don't really want to do this stuff, even if it's going to make me money, because I am an artist. And the way that I would look at it is from two perspectives. Number one is, beyond being an artist, you are a servant to your clients. You're there to make them happy and to provide the most value. So it is better to serve them with the option of presenting them in the best possible way. So do it for them if you don't want to do it for yourself. And second, if you want to continue being an artist, you have to make money. If you don't make money, you will not be able to continue being an artist, because at some point you're going to have to eat and do other things that money require. So do it not because you are greedy, perhaps, but do it because your artistry depends on it.
Yeah, I feel like the whole starving artist trope is just, it's, I don't know, I really have a problem with it. Like, you know, how artists are often criticized for selling out, for making work that they get paid a lot of money for. And it's like, wait, why is art this thing that you're not allowed? Why is art this thing that you're not allowed to make money from? Why is it this thing that's not allowed to be like economically valued in the capitalist system that like we all live in? You know, I feel like it's one of those things that it actually should be valued more. It's something that's like really difficult to do, and it's something that requires a lot of your personal investment. And so I feel like if you're one of those people that's like, oh, I don't know, I'm just doing it for the love of it, then that's fine. But you can do it for the love of it and be financially compensated in a way that helps you continue to do more of it. And I feel like that's kind of what we need more of in this world, really. More artists.
Yeah. Yeah. If there were more musicians that made money for music, we would have more music.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Not less music. And if an artist that you love, a musician that you love, is saying, here, buy my t-shirt so I can continue to make music, you're not going to think, oh my gosh, you're a sellout. You're going to think, this makes sense. I like this musician. I want to support them.
Yes.
So in the same way, you're not selling anything that's cheesy or want, or that people are, you know, like a salesy person calling people in the middle of the night to sell them some pills, or you're offering them something that they will cherish for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And you're not even selling it per se. You're simply giving them, telling them that it exists. Again, in the same way that if you're at a restaurant and you're offered to try some wine, even knowing that the purpose of that is so that you buy a bottle, you wouldn't be offended.
No,
So in the same way, you shouldn't feel like people are going to be offended at you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're just kind of starting to wrap up a little bit here, but I'm curious about what else is in the pipeline for you this year. Can you tell us what is going on for you, maybe personally, and also what Pixaloo has in store for 2024?
Yeah, personally, I'm training for a half Ironman. So I am
huge.
Doing a lot of cycling, running, and swimming. I'm very excited about that.
Wow.
With the company, we're very excited to continue helping photographers with their albums. I can't get into the details of how, but this year we're going to be releasing a few more ways to help photographers make more money with albums, make their processes easier. And as a company as a whole, we're continuing to hire outside of the States, and instead of the States, really everywhere around the world. I love working with people that are diverse. Even during COVID, when it was crazy times, it was such a fascinating thing to get on the call with people from 20 different countries. And instead of relying on news outlets on what's going on there, I could ask each one, hey, what's going on in your country? How are things?
Yeah.
How are you? And it was a very fun thing. So
that's cool.
Pixaloo-wise, I'm continuing to grow and continuing to grow as a leader to be able to lead the company.
Any final words to leave our listeners with?
I've been a photographer for 20 years. I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of styles. I've seen a lot of personalities. I've seen a lot of everything from new cameras to new tricks to new lenses. And I think the biggest lie that I've come across all these years is that just because you're a good photographer, just because you're a good artist, you're going to have a lot of work and people are going to love you. I believed that for many years. And I've learned over the years that in order to have a sustainable career, in order to be able to continue doing what you love, you have to do businessy things, even if you don't love them. So I encourage every artist out there, every photographer that loves to shoot, to sometimes do the things that you may not enjoy, because those are the things that are going to keep you in business and will enable you to continue to love doing this amazing thing, which is photography.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is all the time we have for today. But before you go, let's recap some key takeaways for building your business with printed photo albums. Firstly, remember to explicitly mention that you offer albums to your clients. Don't assume they know. Mention it in your initial consultation, on your website, and even just casually during the shoot. Secondly, show your clients the magic. If possible, bring a sample album to your client meetings or just have one on display in your studio. Let them feel the quality, see the colors, and experience the joy of holding the memories in their hands. Finally, consider including a basic album as part of your package with the option to upgrade. This gives you an opening to showcase the benefits of a premium album experience while letting your clients decide what best suits their budget. If you're ready to explore the ways you can increase the value of your art as a photographer, head on over to the link in our show notes and get 15% off your first year with Pixaloo. Remember, printed photo albums offer a unique and lasting way to showcase your work and create a valuable keepsake for your clients. So embrace the power of print and watch your business flourish. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I will see you next time.
This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.